Because of who you are.
Because of who you are, we give you glory.
Oh, this God is a great God.
Because of who you are, we give you praise.
Oh, sing it. Oh!
Because of who you are, we now lift up voice and say,
oh,
Lord, we worship you because of who you are.
Because of who you are. Oh, sing it. Hallelujah.
Who you are, we give you glory. Because of
oh, thank you.
Because of who you are, we give you praise.
Hallelujah.
Because of who you are, we now lift our voice and sing.
Oh,
Lord, we worship you because of who you are. Lord, we worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Nissi. You reign in victory, Jehovah Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Lord, we worship you because of who you are.
Oh, sing.
Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah
Nissi,
Lord, you reign in victory. Reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom, our Prince of Peace,
our Prince of Peace.
Lord, we worship you because of who you are. Lord, we worship.
We worship you because of who you are.
Lord, we worship you.
Oh, we worship you
because of who you are.
Indeed, Lord, we worship you because of who you are. The heavens declare your glory. The earth and our physical bodies are full of the wonders of your wisdom. Your faithfulness to your people Israel is a testimony for all the world and this generation to see. Truly, we worship you because of who you are. We thank you for your presence, the strength of Israel who will not lie, who inhabits the praises of his people. And so you have done again today. As we go into your word, we ask this same presence, go with us. Come and open the word. Open our hearts. Let us behold great and wondrous things out of thy law. Anoint me afresh. Let me speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing that's upon my heart and my lips, upon the ears and the hearts of your people, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure, to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. I further pray for mercy that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings I mentioned that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, you may be seated. Today I have a present truth instructional message, and it is entitled Godliness, Contentment, and Gain. Godliness, Contentment, and Gain. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Excuse me. It says, perverse, read together with me, always speak God's word. It does something to you. And I don't want to hear only the pastors, I want to hear everybody. So we go together. Say, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Everyone say gain and great gain. Say gain and great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Let me go to verses 9 and 10. It's not in my text, but looking at it now. Say, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Everybody say godliness, contentment, and gain. What is godliness? Godliness is godlikeness. You know, most people religiously, traditionally, we think of godliness as somebody who's just morally upright. So that man is a godly man. And it's not wrong, it's just that it's very incomplete. It's not just being morally upright. Godliness is being like God in three areas. Number one, the wisdom of God. What makes God different from every other being is his infinite wisdom with which he made the heavens and the earth. The second aspect of godliness is his character, which is his love, which now includes moral uprightness. And, you know, love is even bigger than being morally upright. You know, love is, you know, using the wisdom of God and the compassion of God and the power of God for the life of God to do what God would do in every situation. Then the third aspect is the power of God, having the supernatural ability of God, not just in miracles and healing and all of that, which is very important and is a part of it, but in skill, in intelligence, in ability. That's what it means to be godly. And one of the reasons why Christianity has not been as attractive as it should be to a lot of people in the world is because we do not portray the full spectrum of godliness. We usually just harp only on the moral aspect. I don't steal, I don't kill, I don't destroy, I don't commit adultery, like the rich young ruler told Jesus. You know, he said, and he was right. The man was not lying, you know, but he wasn't a Christian, you know. You have a lot of good unbelievers who are morally upright because of honesty of heart. God's mercy comes upon them from the air and enables them to keep these moral laws to a very appreciable degree. That rich young ruler told God, it was Barnabas. Church history tells us it was Barnabas. He said, you know, he said, what will I do to get eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, which ones? He said, you know, don't commit adultery, honor your father and your mother, don't steal, don't kill, don't murder. And the man replied and said, all these things I've done since I was young. And he wasn't lying. Jesus looked at him, but I said, Jesus looking at him loved him. And Jesus said, okay, if you want to be perfect, you know what we're going to do? You go and sell everything you got. Give it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. The Bible says he went away sad because he had great possessions. And Jesus was actually offering him a place in the apostleship. He would have been the natural replacement for Judas. Look at what that guy blew because he didn't understand, you know. So Christianity, godliness is more than just being morally upright. It includes it, but it's much more than that. It includes having the wisdom of God, what we call the ability of the mind of Christ, having the character, this is very important, of God, you know, which is love in all of its ramifications, you know, as described beautifully by the fruit of the Spirit. Love is the main thing. All those things are just components of love, just like you have white light. Then the components of white light are red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. In the same way, the love of God has characteristics: joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. These are things people should see in all of us as Christians. And this is what makes Christianity attractive. And when they don't see it, it makes Christianity unattractive. I mean, it makes it look dull. The other aspect is the ability of God, which is also the supernatural power to heal, to deliver, to cleanse lepers, to raise the dead. That will be very attractive, you know. And then on top of that, you know, super intelligence, the ability of the mind of Christ, ability, skill, you know, language learning ability, photographic memory, artistic ability, musical ability, mathematical. This will make Christianity extremely attractive. And that's what's going to happen in this end time. Before we're through with all this, you know, there's going to be a significant number of Christians. And my estimate will be under maybe 700 million, something like that. You know, it's not now, but it's going to happen. You know, I gave you the timeline during the New Year message, you know, that about, again, these are prophetic shadows, you know, about 2025, we should see the glory of God, because that's the third day from the maturity of Christ when Jesus himself began to manifest his glory, turning water to wine. Then from there, you know, we have about 7 years of building the temple and overcoming the universal persecution, you know. And as that happens, we're going to see the greater proportions of the glory of God. And by the time we're in the 2030s, by the grace of God, 32, 33 and onwards, some of these things we're saying will be in manifestation. And Christianity, you will see, then will come to pass that which is written by the prophet in the book of Isaiah, where it says, behold, darkness, that's what we have now, gross darkness covers the world. It said, but the Lord will rise upon thee, his glory will be seen on thee, you know. And it says, because it's attractive, it says, Gentile, the nations will come to the brightness of your rising. Kings, you know, we haven't seen that yet in any appreciable degree. This is in front of us. But it's going to come by the full spectrum of godliness. Not just the moral, the small moral part of godliness. And so this is what Paul says is of great gain. He says, godliness. And if you're truly godly, one thing you will have is contentment. What does contentment mean? It means an inner peace and satisfaction with whatever you have physically at your present level of spiritual development without being greedy and covetous for more, knowing that it will come as you grow spiritually. That's what contentment is. in our language, in Yoruba, they say, itelorun. That means, you know, you're content. You're not in competition with anybody. Because whatever they have is God who gave them. And when your own time comes, God will give you. So you're happy for everybody. You don't have any envy and competition and all the things that, you know, cause all kinds of problems in the world. You know, it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm going to get to great gain in a minute. I want to emphasize this issue of contentment. The more godly you are, the more content you will be. Because contentment is an inner peace that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. All that peace and joy and long-suffering is contentment. See, when a person is not content, they have not developed the fruit of the Spirit to a great degree. It's the development of godliness, this godlikeness, you know, exemplified by the fruit of the Spirit that brings about this inner contentment. Then he tells us in verse 8 what makes us content. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. See, God is so wise and he is so good that he gives you the basics. Food, if you don't have food, you will die of starvation. Raiment, if you don't have good clothing, you will die from the cold and, you know, the intense heat of the elements. God knows that. That's why Jesus himself said this when he was teaching about some of these things. He said, your Father knows you have need of these things. What you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, God knows that. And what I discovered in my Christian life, my personal experience, and I know this is true universally, you know, for everybody, it is this. When you become a Christian and you understand and you start walking with God, you will find something. God will always provide food and raiment. He may not provide all the excess, you know, and all of the other things, you know, but you will always have food and raiment. And if you have that inner godliness, you'll be content with it. I want to be very particular about my own personal experience. You know, I give these, God has been asking me recently to share more and more of these things because they help people to relate in reality to these things. You know, when I came back to Nigeria, you know, when I left in prayer call after God told me to come, you know, and to give all of that up for a while, you know, I shared this last week. You know, I knew if I had stayed, I just wouldn't have had the time. God said, I want to teach you my word. I want you, he told me in that first year as a Christian, you're going to be a teacher of the word, you know. Even he even brought a prophet from Scotland to confirm that word to me, you know. So I knew if I stayed, I wouldn't have had the time. So I came and I obeyed him. You know, I first of all went to Cross River State where I gotten born again. I got a job. I was there for 3 months, you know, from September, October until December. Then he now told me I should go and work with Brother Emiko. So I did. You know, that was sometime January, you know, February of 1981. And I remember when I was about to leave England, the devil told me, he said, hey, you will see, you are going to suffer. You will not, you won't have food. You know, if I remember my dad of blessed memory, you know, my daddy is a person who has a great sense of humor. He was angry with me. He wasn't very angry. He wasn't happy with me because I left. But, you know, he said, well, if that's what you want to do, he said, but do it properly. He said, you know, that time, Oral Roberts was on television. So he said, we'll be like Oral Roberts. Okay, go to America. Go to Oral Roberts University. So I will pay. So you do it properly. He said, I don't want you to come to the streets of Lagos and then you'll be ringing bell like Aladura for people to come because you are hungry. I laughed. My daddy too, we laughed. I said, no. It won't be anything like that. But that fear was there. That it was at the back of my mind. What if I don't? And I can tell you, to the glory of God, by personal experience, not once in all of these 40-something years have I lacked food and raiment. Never. Never. Now, I didn't have all the things I have today, some of the things I have today. You know, I remember when I first came back, you know, I was teaching that school, and I came back with Brother Miko, I've given his testimony, you know, and we wouldn't have you know, we didn't have furniture in the house. We had only one bed, you know. We didn't have curtains at first and all of that. All those things didn't bother us. But one thing we always had was food and raiment. And that gave inner contentment. So I concentrated on what I came to do, pray and study the word. And God sent Kenneth Copeland. He sent us all his books and tapes, you know, free. Well, for Brother Emeka, we're supposed to sell it in Nigeria and send it. You know, that became my Bible school, you know. And every evening I would just pray, read my Bible, study my Bible. Then I would listen to Kenneth Copeland. I would listen to Kenneth Hagin. I would listen to I had the Bible on tape. You know, that's what God is talking about. If you have contentment with godliness, that's God. I'm going to lead to great gain in a minute. It's going to give you really great gain ultimately. But if you don't have that godliness, you won't be content with food and raiment. You see, most people are not content with food and raiment. That is the reason for covetousness. Then competition. You know, oh, this guy has a car, I don't have. This guy has this, I don't have. This person has that, I don't have. God didn't, initially, God says, what you need to worry about is food and raiment. I'll take care of that. He said, then, I'm adding this now, which is our theme for this year, the prosperity of the soul. As your soul prospers, then the level of prosperity too will begin to grow up, will increase, and your healing and health. But that's a gradual process. But at the baseline, everybody would have food and raiment. And I also added something here in my notes as I was being led by the Spirit. You know, this experience is becoming so more, it's been there over the years, but it's becoming so much more tangible to me. Like David said, but he wrote the plans of the temple by the hand of the Holy Spirit that was upon him. He said, let my tongue be like the pen of a ready writer. As I'm writing, inspiration is coming. And that's why I write, you know, I have this new electronic notebook, because all my things now are automatically saved in the cloud. It's not like before when I had paper, you know, and it could get lost. Now I can't get lost. Everything is it. And here I wrote, I said, having food, raiment, and a quiet and peaceable life. I added that by the Spirit. See, if you are, let me read the whole thing. So you are not distracted from prayer and the word. If you don't have food, if you don't have raiment, and you do not have a quiet and peaceful life, it will be a distraction. Look at what happened last Tuesday, for example. Thank God it was localized, you know, and it wasn't that there were some terrorists who were running around Ibadan, and they were just throwing those bombs everywhere, and they came here to Songo and threw one, and they went to Ring Road and threw another. We could stay in church. God forbid. If that had happened, it would have been a distraction. That's the reason why we pray for the nation, that we may lead a quiet. When you heard the sound of that bomb on Tuesday, you now understand what it means by quiet. That bomb was not quiet at all. And peaceable life. In all godliness and honesty. That's that word godliness again. That's that word godliness again. See, when you have food, raiment, peace, and quiet, then you can seek God and walk with God, you know, without distraction. And that is very, very important. So God wants us to have godliness with inner contentment by the fruit of the Spirit, and thereby have a peaceable life, so that we will be able to concentrate on what really matters, prayer and the word. Again, as I was writing this, this scripture came to me. I didn't write it down, but it came to me as I was writing. Bible says, let us give ourselves continually unto prayer and the ministry of the word. You are not going to grow spiritually as you should if you do not give attention to those two things, prayer and the word. It's not just for pastors. Anybody who is planning to grow spiritually. When Pastor Olaolu was talking today and talking about the church, you know, from Ephesians chapter 4, said, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Let me break that down in this context. You see, we all have unity of the faith already. If you're born again, all of us have the same faith in Jesus. That's what Bible means by unity of the faith. But there's a second unity there. It's the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. So if you know, my wife is an English expert. She's a PhD in English. See, the unity there is not just for the faith. Watch it. This is just Form 3 English. Till we all come into the unity, one, of the faith and of the knowledge. So the unity applies not only to the faith, but to the knowledge of the Son of God. There is a knowledge of the Son of God that will bring you, if you act on it, to an experience of a perfect man, of the measure, of the stature, of the fullness of Christ. That the Greek word is the word epignosis. It means precise, complete, perfect knowledge. Now, that is what you should be looking for in your Christian life. That knowledge, that epignosis, the revelation of it, firstly. Then secondly, the experience of it. So if you don't give time to prayer and the word, you will not come to that knowledge. You will be born again, you have the faith, you go to heaven, but you will not be able to enter into the fullness of your prophetic destiny. I was speaking about this on Wednesday when I was talking about, you know, the keys of the kingdom and some of these things. You know, God doesn't just want us to be born again. He said that we be no more children. Yes, you're born again. How many people here would like their children to stay the way they were when they were 5 years old? After 20 years. Same mental capacity. In our language, that means that's a child that will give you grief. No. He said that we be no more children. Tossed to and fro. With every wind of doctrine. By a slide of men conquer whether. But speaking the truth in love. May grow up into him in all things. Which is the head, which is Christ. That's the purpose. This is not just for pastors. It's for everybody. God wants to. But if you don't have food and raiment, and you don't have contentment, and you don't have a quiet and peaceable life, this will be very difficult. You can't, you know, because you won't be able to have the time to give in prayer and in the word that will bring you to the revelation knowledge, firstly, of this fullness of Christ. This is the essence of all the Pauline prayers. When you put them all together, the Ephesian 1 prayer, the Colossian 1 prayer, the Philippian 1 prayer, the Thessalonian, 1 Thessalonian prayer, the 2 Thessalonian prayer, and finally the Ephesian 3 prayer. When you put it all together, and we're talking about it in a minute, you know, the essence of those prayers, when God answers those prayers, they will bring you to this knowledge. The knowledge of the complete, perfect, precise knowledge of the Son of God that will bring you to the revelation of a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm going to repeat it without any contradiction. The will of God and the purpose of God for every Christian is for us to grow into the perfection and the fullness of Christ in this lifetime. I heard one amen. That's the will of God. That's the perfect will of God. For us to grow into the fullness of Christ. I like the way the Bible describes it. It doesn't leave any wiggle room for your unbelief and your skepticism. It says the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Right here. Not when we get to heaven. So to, you know, disabuse your mind from any unbelief, in 1 John, it says, as he is, so are we in this world. Not when we get to heaven. I didn't hear you, folks. I said, as he is, so are we in this world. I didn't hear you. Don't your neighbor say, as he is, so are we in this world, not in heaven. But you see, it's the word and prayer that's going to bring you here. Nothing else will. The gifts of the Spirit won't do it. The gifts of the Spirit are enhancers. They will encourage you to say, it's real. But they will not bring you to that knowledge. You have to spend quality time in the word and in prayer. In prayer and in the word, that's actually the correct order. It's not the word and prayer, it's prayer and the word. Because you see, without prayer, the word will not open. You will just have head knowledge. It is prayer that will cause revelation knowledge of the that is in the to come to the head. I taught on this last Wednesday. Light comes from the inner man, then it enlightens the understanding in the mind. Then that's revelation knowledge. God has shined in our hearts to give the knowledge of the glory of God. And that word, the Greek word, is that epignosis. So it is possible. The first person I ever heard say this was E.W. Kenyon. I didn't hear him, but I read it in his book. He wrote this in the 1930s and 1940s. Till now, the church has not yet appreciated what E.W. Kenyon wrote. His last book is called The Hidden Man of the Heart. There is a chapter in that book. I recommend it for everybody. Go and buy it online. It's about $10. It's not a lot of money, you know. You know, and you can download it onto your phone or your computer or your iPad or whatever, you know. And there's a chapter there. You know what it says? It says complete knowledge. I remember reading this in 1980 in England. I was so excited. He said there is a perfect, precise, complete knowledge of the Son of God. Then E.W. Kenyon was honest. He said, we believe. He didn't say he knows. He said, we believe this knowledge is inside the word. And a company of Christians, before this age closes, will come to this knowledge and will demonstrate it for everybody to see. He said, some of us, he was very honest. You see, these are the things that inspired young men like me, you know, at the time. You know, he said, we've seen the lame walk. He had miracles in his ministry. We've seen the blind see. We've seen those on the verge of death brought back instantly to life and vigor. He said, but so far, none of us, he was honest, have walked in this fullness. He said, but we have a conviction that before the Lord Jesus returns, there will rise a company of believers that will live the transcendent, victorious resurrection life of the Son of God amongst men. And I love the way he put it. He said, and will bring this age to a befitting close. The church is not going to be raptured because the devil is about to finish us. And then God is giving us an escape to heaven. That is a wrong mentality. Oh, you know, the iniquity is abounding, which it is. You know, but remember what I told you, you know, where iniquity is abounding, grace is much more abounding. You see, it depends on how you look at it. Everything is a question of perspective. You take a bottle of a glass of water, if it's half, the negative person will say it's half empty. The positive person will say it's half full. Both of them are right. But one has a empty mentality, the other person has a full mentality. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? You need to be able to get to a place in your Christian life where you have this positive mentality. We're not. Satan is not going to chase us out of here. We are going to rule. Rule in the midst of thine enemies. The rod of strength out of Zion. And when we have ruled in every tribe, tongue, and kindred, and made disciples, hallelujah, and we are good and ready, then we say, Lord, let's check out. It's not Satan who is driving us out. It is us who decide we finished our job and we're going. A witness to every tribe, tongue, and kindred. You must have a positive mentality. The average Pentecostal Christian, things are getting so bad. You know, Jesus come tomorrow. Jesus come tomorrow, you know, before the devil finishes all of us. God have mercy on us. Now, let me look at gain. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment will ultimately, and I use the word ultimately deliberately because it's not something that's immediate when you get born again, will ultimately lead give you access, I like the way the Holy Spirit helped me put it down here, to creative wealth and great gain. Observe, he was contrasting that. See, some people think that, you know, when I have money, it shows that God approves of me. He says, supposing that gain is godliness. Gain is not godliness, but true godliness with contentment will bring what he calls great gain. Not ordinary gain, no. Great gain. Now, what is this? Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8. See, the prosperity we've seen in the church so far, and I mean exactly what I've said so far, majority of it, if not all of it, has been the prosperity of transfer of wealth. In other words, you know, God blesses people, they bring tithes and offerings to the church. So it is the money they have made that they bring to the church, which is good, it's a starting point. But that is not the perfect will of God. And it is that lack of understanding that has caused the church to get into this distorted prosperity message and covetousness. You know, I heard a man of God recently, you know, God had mercy on them. They borrowed 100 million and then they paid it off. And he was being thankful, which is okay. But what is 100 million? It's really nothing. I'm telling you. It's a lot of money. It's money, but it's, you know. So, you see, people in the world will be wondering, what is he shouting about? And then that's the lens with which they will see our God. As you know, like I was before I became a Christian too. So don't mind all these SUs. We used to call them SU, Scripture Union, back in those days. You know, they're just using this as a cop-out because they can't face the real world. So they use God as a cloak, you know, to excuse their failure and their inability to compete in the real world, which is sadly not the truth. True Bible prosperity in its ultimate is creation of wealth, not just transfer of wealth. It begins with transfer of wealth. God will give to you. He will tell people to give to you. Now, he expects you now to use what you've been given to invest it. And he will give you creative ideas that will multiply the wealth. That, to the glory of God, to some degree, is what God has used my wife and I to do through LifeFort. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Recently, this last Christmas, all the children were home. You saw them when they came for Christmas. And we're discussing, you know, about all this prosperity message, about these Lagos preachers and how they tell lies. And it was Josh Olubi who actually said this. He said, thank God for mommy and daddy. He said that if they were depending on the money of the church, they could never have sent us to the schools they sent us to. How much are we making in the church? Then I used it to preach to them. I said, you see, that's creative wealth. And at the time we were doing it, we were not thinking about anything, you know. We just, you know, we had a house girl and God wanted us to help her and then help her. We did not know. That is why, by the grace and the mercy of God, we have not changed our message. Honey, the message is still the same. Because under financial pressure, the message will change. That's what has happened to so many of our people. Because their only source of revenue is what they get from the offerings. And they want to live a high lifestyle like the world. They want to have private jet. They want to have this. They want to have that. They want to have nice car. They want their children. So what do? They put pressure on the people to give. So it is that money that they get from the people that they use. Some of them invest a little bit here and there, you know. But a lot of times they don't have that creative wisdom from God. You find that if one person starts something, everybody in the church starts it. Have you noticed? Like us, we started school, everybody now has school. But did God tell you to do it? Or are you doing it because of competition? It's very, very, these things are extremely important. Look at Romans 8. Sorry, Proverbs 8, very quickly. And I'm going to look at verses 10 to 12, then 14, then 18, 21. I'm just going to jump. Okay, let's start from verse 10. Everybody, read along with me. He's talking about the wisdom of God. So he says, receive my instruction and not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're talking about great gain, not ordinary gain. Hello. For wisdom is better than rubies. Turn to your neighbor and say, wisdom is better than dollars, is better than pound sterling, is better than rubies. See, if I have money and I don't have wisdom, the money will finish. But if I have money and then I have wisdom, I now know how to make the money multiply. We're not done yet. And all things that may be desired are not to be compared with it, to it, that is wisdom. This is creative wealth. This is great gain. Dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of what? Witty inventions. Creation. Creative wealth. This has been almost the exclusive preserve of the unbelievers. Sadly. And the church, because the church, and I'll tell you the reason why. I told you during the New Year message. Our souls just haven't prospered to that degree. Because it's as the soul prospers, the humility level, the fruits level of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, revelation knowledge of God's Word. Ask the average Christian anywhere. What's revelation? They don't know. It's not taught. They don't even know such things exist. When they talk about revelation, the average Christian thinks of dream and vision. No. It's light from the inner man, the innermost being that goes into the mind through the humility of the will that enlightens the understanding. And it is the degree to which you have that, that God will not start giving you creative ideas and back it with power and skill and strength to be able to create wealth. Verse 14. Counsel is mine. Don't your neighbor say, who is mine? The wisdom of God. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Verse 18. It's talking about the wisdom of God. Riches. How many people want riches here? How to get it. Not 419. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Look at where he put it. It's not just this one that, you know, is the judge where they just tell lies and all of that to get money. It will be in righteousness. Righteousness is an integral part of this creative wealth and great gain. If you're not, I'm not just talking about right standing with God. I'm talking about right doing, which is a consequence of right standing. You know, right doing, you know, the kind of riches, that's why we haven't tasted it to the degree we should. How can people in the church, you know, how many billionaires do we have in the church? I'm not talking about Naira, I'm talking about dollars. In America, here, London, everywhere. We're not many. You know, maybe the richest of us has 5 billion. Maybe 4, you know, maybe 10. But the rich guys in the world, well, they're looking at hundreds of billions. Imagine if we had those kind of resources in the church. Ah, it's coming, darling. These years that are ahead of us, 2025 and the 2030s and all of that, we're going to see it. The church will outstrip everybody. Then will come to pass that which the prophet said and Moses said. He said, you will be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. The people in the world will see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they will be afraid of you. Who will be afraid of you if you have 5 billion? Who's going to be afraid of you? 5 billion is nothing. You know, the really rich people in the world, you know, are in the hundreds of billions. You know, but if you start having a trillion, now listen to you. Hello? Nobody said amen. It's too much for your faith. That's why I'm preaching this message. I would say godliness, contentment, and gain is in a sequence. You begin with godliness, not gain. You don't reverse the order. Then from gain, godliness, you go to contentment. Then from contentment, you get gain. Am I talking to anybody here? Right. So in verse 18, riches and honor, durable riches and righteousness, my fruit. He's talking about wisdom of God. Hello, somebody. Give me a wave offering, somebody. And then give the Lord a clap offering. Good. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I, wisdom, lead in the way of what? Right, that's righteousness again. He repeats it again. In the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to do what? Inherit substance. That was a great gain. And I will fill their treasures. The world hasn't seen money yet, too. We haven't seen prosperity yet. Even in the world, the prosperity we have, we're just beginning to scratch the trillion mark. Apple, which is the big company that makes iPhone and everything, this thing came to 1 trillion just recently. You know, it's about just one. Then some governments now are talking about 5 trillion, 2 trillion, you know. The hour is coming. And now is where the church will outstrip all of that. What is 1,000 trillion? Nobody uses it. It's called a quadzillion. Let me get your mind thinking a little bit. Okay? So you have an idea of what we're talking about. All right? 1 million is 1 with 6 zeros. It's 1,000,000. 1 billion is 1 with 9 zeros. So it is 1,000,000,000. 1 trillion is 1 with 12 zeros. So it is 1,000,000,000,000. Then the next one, if you add another 3 zeros, is to power 15. That's what you would call a quadzillion. Nobody talks about it because it's, let's say the way the Bible says it, without measure. It's a level that is, let me give you some figures to play with. If you start counting every second, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you want to count up to 1 billion, it will take you 31.7 years. Google it. I've done the research. If you just sit down, you don't do anything else. You don't go to the toilet. You don't do anything. Just sit down and just 1, 2, 3, and just start counting, 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 counting. If you try and count 1 trillion, it will take you 31,700 years. That's why we call it without measure. Nobody can measure it. Now, of course, we can measure it with our intellect and all of that. But you cannot sit down and count it. You can't live long enough. I didn't say 1,000 years. I said 31,700 years. If you want to get to the quadzillion, just multiply. You'll be looking at about 300 or more. You'll be looking at, just multiply that one by 1,000, you know. So you'll be looking at thousands of years. Hundreds of thousands of years. That's how big it is. Now I understand what is in God's mind. See, the Bible says that you may build exceedingly abundantly. Above. Thank you, darling. Thank you, my wife is here. My greatest supporter. Praise the Lord. You know, exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. See, your thinking is limited to millions, and now we're talking about trillions. Your thinking, until now I preached it, you have not been able to expand your thinking. But you can imagine a person whose business and wealth has got to this quadzillion mark. There is nothing they can't do. There is nothing, literally. You can't finish that money. He can say, oh, go and buy me 1,000 747s. Buy me, okay, how many missionaries do we want to send to China? Oh, so. Okay, you know, each of them, give them a private jet.
And we have fellow China, see. Pastor Wale, you want to go to China now? What if Pastor Luma for a private jet?
But seriously, that will be what we will be doing. We won't be going by public airlines. They won't go where we want to go. The money will be there. And it's not the kind of money that you're going to be begging for. Or it's just going to come through the offering. Offering will be a part of it, don't misunderstand. You know, but it will be invested in creative businesses, energy, food, you know, different things that you, even up to now, people haven't even thought of, that will make so much money. Then will come to pass that which is also written, that you will lend unto nations and you will not borrow. A person with that kind of money, he can fund the World Bank and then dictate their policy. Just put 3 or 4 brethren on the board. My wife and I have discussed these things. You know? Yes, why not? That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And say, no, you can't do that. Against the principle of the Bible, we will not, if you do that, we will take our money out. Quickly, they will sign. Quickly. Godliness is profitable. This is why you should be motivated to live a godly life. Not just morally upright, but in the way in which I've described. One that God has used, you know, profitable for this life and the life to come. Let's look at 2 scriptures. One is in 1 Timothy chapter 8. This 1 Timothy has been occurring with great repetition in this message today. For bodily exercise, I didn't hear you, profits little. A better translation will say it's profitable for this life. It's important to get it, you know, be fit. Because so that you can be strong and you can do the work of God. So it profits for a little while. But, is this the contrast? But, godliness is profitable unto all things. Having the promise of the life that, and, win-win. Mark chapter 10. Jesus is talking to his disciples. These 2 scriptures were what tipped my decisions when I was in Imperial College. I had about a week or two to make a decision. My lecturers called me and said, look, you need to stay back and redo 1 or 2 courses. Then you do this project with British Telecom. So we'll let you be going, you know, and doing it. But let us know. You have to let us know in 2 weeks, you know, so that we can put your name down, or we could not. I didn't tell my mommy, oh. Tell my daddy. Tell anybody. I was at a crossroads. What do I do? I was 20, 21, you know? And my flesh wanted to stay in England. I was telling them last Wednesday. I'm being honest. I mean, who doesn't want to stay in London? Who wants to come to Nigeria? It's the truth, you know? My flesh wanted to stay, you know, as I was thinking, how can I combine it? You know, I'll still do the will of God, you know, and I'll pray. And the more I thought about it, it's because the witness of the Spirit. The more I thought about it and prayed that time, you know, thank God for Kenneth Hagin and E.W. Cairn. You know, I was praying the Pauline prayers. I was praying in tongues. I was reading my Bible. I was walking in love. All the ingredients that I'm teaching you now were all in place. At that time, I didn't understand them as like that. I was just doing them because I was taught and I was instructed to do them. But, you know, so I was having a genuine need of spirit. The more I think about it, the more I will be afraid. If you stay in this London, you will get into trouble. You will not have the time. And that was what exactly happened. To be able to study and pray the way I want you to. You will be able to study and pray, but not the way I want you to. And you will not learn the things I want you to learn. And it can be disastrous. Looking back now, I now know, I mentioned this on Wednesday, if I had stayed, I probably would have fallen with some woman or something. You know, it's England. I have a friend. I'm still in touch with him. He's a lovely guy and all of that. But he stayed. And that's what happened to him. And he was a very, very good Christian. You know, there's something about just being in the right place at the right time. And then being in the will of God. If I had stayed, I probably would still be a Christian. I'm sure I would still be a Christian. You know. But maybe I would have gotten some hits. You know. Then I wouldn't have lived long. 30-something, 40. People say, you know, hey, boy, you're there, brilliant, go. It wasn't Ota. You don't know what God told that man. I'm telling you because I'm alive to tell you. If that happened, you wouldn't know. If Kenneth Hagin had died at 55, would you know? You wouldn't know. You don't hear, oh, there used to be one of these healing preachers who just, oh, his name is Otto Kenhagin. He also died with all this, you know, Jack Coe and all of these people. But you will not know what God told him. That he should put his prophetic ministry above his teaching ministry. You won't know. If I'm not telling you now, you will not know. And many are like that. You don't know what God told them. So keep your mouth shut. You don't know. So Mark 10:29. These were two scriptures. It says, there is no man that had given house, brethren, you know, and all of these things, houses. It says, he will not receive 100-fold in this life. I had two witnesses. I had 1 Timothy 4:8. I'm telling you what happened to me when I was in prayer college. And this one. And I said, okay, God, you promised me that if I go this way, or I said, if I stay, what do I want? I want to have a good job. I want to be able to, you know, have money and all of that. You're not telling me that I'm going to get all of those things if I follow you. Let's go. That was what tilted decision for me. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to close. How? Make more room for Jesus. It is so simple. But I have an updated version of the chart. This thing will work for anybody. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have anybody. And that's why I want to thank God for Mommy and Good Morning Jesus. Let's give a clap offering for Good Morning Jesus. These are daily sequential steps to make more room for Jesus. Ever say godliness, contentment, and great gain. Ever say godliness, contentment, and great gain. Godliness is not just moral uprightness alone. It's not don't steal, don't kill, don't commit adultery alone. It's a part, that's a part of it. It's be like God. Be like God, which includes all of the fruit of the Spirit, includes the wisdom of God, includes the character, the integrity, the ability of God. So we're looking at a very comprehensive understanding of godliness. Not just this, you know, religious, morally, I don't steal, I don't kill, I don't commit. Ah, my godly God, who told you? Even unbeliever who is not born again has it, like the rich young ruler. You know, and I know many people who are Muslims, who are good, nice people, who don't commit adultery, they don't do all of that. You see, that is why people challenge Christianity and say, what makes you think Christianity is superior to others? After all, there is nothing you people are doing that we are not doing. In fact, I know some people who are doing better than your people. And we have to. But when we have the true godliness, then you will challenge them with your mercy and your kindness, your gentleness, your humility will amaze them. When they know what you really have and what you, and they see you like Jesus, you take a back position. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant. Ah! They'll be afraid of you. But they don't see that in the church. They see the same pride and all of that arrogance that you see in the world. So, you start every day clean with the blood by honesty and humility. You confess, you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And then you worship God. Jesus said, if you want to pray, say, pray this way. He says, when you say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Worship is the first principle. You worship God. Number two, you pray for more. Everyone scream more. I didn't hear you. You didn't scream it. That's not a scream. Pray for more of the fruit of the Spirit and love. I know you have the fruit of the Spirit. I know you have love, but you don't have enough. Pastor will say, Pastor, you don't know. I have plenty of love. If you had enough, by now, we would know you. Because the fruit of the Spirit would have increased your level of healing and health and prosperity, that you'd be very popular. That's how I know. Because it is be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. How do I know that the level of fruit of spirit in the church is not sufficient? Because we haven't seen the commensurate amount of prosperity and health and healing. I was telling us some time ago, you know, even the best of us, John G. Lake, Kenneth Hagin, all died of sickness. Old age, yes, partly, but sickness. Sickness. And God gave me a revelation. You will never be totally free of sickness until you are totally free of sin. And that sin is not sins, it's sin. The substance. We got to get it out. That's what perfection is all about. Then we will now have a generation that will live above. That's what E.W. Kenyon was talking about. Let's give him a super clap offering. The man was honest. He was honest. He said, we've seen the blind see. We've seen the lame walk. He said, but so far, none of us have walked in this place. It's in the word. We see it's there, but we haven't got there. Why? Because we haven't addressed the sin nature. The church has concentrated on overcoming sins and has not addressed overcoming sin. Sin is the substance inside the soul and the flesh that cause the acts of sin. Sins are things you do that cause a block between you and God. The blood of Jesus Christ takes care of the effect of sins, but it is the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that crucify and cleanse out sin. And it only comes by intercession. That's not been emphasized. I'm not interceding just to get people born again. I'm interceding so that I myself will be born again. So I can be born again in my flesh. Having our bodies washed with pure water. The washing of the water by the word. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. Why would he cleanse it if it's not dirty? That is the road of perfection. And it is when we see men walk in that we're going to see people totally free of sickness. What John G. Lake visited but didn't live in. He visited it. At that time, there was a special anointing on him when he was in South Africa. He put his hand in the bubonic plague. All the germs that touched his hand, they all died. But this same John G. Lake came back to America. He had something, you know, the natural thing set in. He died at the age of 65. He had a stroke. Died in a wheelchair. He wouldn't go to the hospital because they said, oh, you know, fit men don't go to hospital. You know, same thing with Woolworth. He had gallstones, you know. Thank God for these men. They're great men. What I'm trying to say is this. There's new, I like E.W. Kenyon again. He called it new land ahead. There is something in front of us. And we must understand that is a challenge that we have to enter and appropriate and grasp. There will be a company. It's not Olubi Johnson who's saying this. The Bible says it. You know what Paul said? He said, we shall not all sleep. There's going to be a generation of Christians who will not die. We shall not all. There will be some. They will not sleep. I know it's the rapture, but you know, they will live, they'll be like Moses. Can you imagine a man at 120? His eye was not dim. The scripture is very clear. His natural strength was not abated. The Bible says when he came down from the mountain, the glory of God that was shining in his face was so intense, the children of Israel could not look at him. They had to put a veil. And God told me, he said, that's the example. Pray for more of the fruit of the Spirit and love. Number three, pray for more of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Pauline prayers, Ephesians 1, Colossians 1. And I have it inside in the app. There's one particular prayer in the app. Don't go there, but you can go and look for it when you get home. You know, I'm going to tell you something now. You have to work out your own salvation. What I'm giving you now is principles. You will have to work it out in your own personal situation, which may be different from mine, it may be different from mommy's, it may be different from every other person's own. Pray for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the Pauline prayer. As one of the prayers I put it, you know, God give me more of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the present complete knowledge of you, the eyes, you know, of my understanding being enlightened, you know, that, you know, to walk in love, watch and pray always, all that. You can put all the Pauline prayers into one prayer. So it will take you 5-10 minutes. Then pray for more strength in the inner man using the Ephesians 3 prayer, strengthening, and other life scriptures. All these will take you about 15, 5, 10, 10, 10 is 20, 25, 15, about 35 minutes. Now, the secret to this thing is this. The day of the Lord begins in the evening. So the next day starts 6 o'clock, the evening of the first day. So look for the time, and the time is there. Cut out the Instagram, cut out the Facebook, cut out the movies. Hello. I just got your number. I just read your mail. Don't tell me you can't do it. If it is your priority, you will do it. Do you understand? It may be around 8 o'clock in the evening, 9 o'clock in the evening. Switch the television off. Go to your room. Worship God. Pray for more of the fruit of the Spirit. Pray for more of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Pray for strength in the inner man. Then go and sleep. You wake up, join good man Jesus at 5 o'clock in the morning. You are ready to fire. Glory be to God. You are ready to fire. You may not know this. I know mommy has told you, and I'm telling you now. You know, we don't wake up at 5. 5K, disaster. Wake up at 3. 3:30. Mommy, myself, and some of the other pastors and lean sessors, they do another prayer before your own prayer. It's not like that too. But you don't have to do that. A lot of people may not be able to do that. I understand. That's why God gave me this understanding. He said it starts in the evening. So look for time. You know, switch the thing off. Instead of listening to 1 hour of news at 10, you understand? Arise. Me and mom and my wife, you know, what we do now is just listen to the headline. At the beginning, pa, 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 you know, Tinubu went to Morocco. This one went to this. This one went to that. This one went to this. You know, in 5 minutes, it's over. Then I can go to my room and pray. So that 45 minutes I would have stand in front of the television for 1 hour. Same thing with CNN. I just pick the headline. I look at the headlines at the bottom of the screen. This, you know, Trump won Iowa. This one did this. Haley said this and all that. I don't want to go there. Everybody say, thank God for 3 day fast. We're going to pray for America. So turn to your neighbor and say, God is in control. Okay? You know, so that time, that extra time, you can do all of this. You can do all of this. This first part, you know. And then this, the good morning Jesus, the corporate prayer in the morning will help you and boost and amplify your prayers. 1 and 2 hours, you know. Then after the corporate prayer, you read your Bible. 20 minutes is not long. Use the Bible reading app, you know. Then the number 7, keep the commandment of life and love, you know. In Jesus' name, I have life. I love God more with all my heart, will, mind, emotions, and strength. And I love my brethren as Christ loves them. Then I pray in tongues. With praying in tongues, and you do that every 6 hours. In the morning, you know, when you sleep, when you get up, all these scriptures tell us that. Deuteronomy 6:7. When you walk, by the way, when you stand up 4 times, you know, 2 Samuel says, you know, they sacrifice every 6 paces. Mark 13:35 says, in the morning, at cockcrow, in noon, and in the evening, 4. 3 scriptures, the mouth of 2 or 3, let them go. It's an established word. So this is how you watch and pray always. So you are just doing about 5 minutes every 6 hours. The total time, when you add all of it together, comes to about 3 hours daily. So you are able to actually do what the Bible says, where you tithe your time, stand to your feet. You tithe your time. Over 2.5. Anybody can do this. I don't care how busy you are. I don't care what profession you are in. If you put God as priority, you can find that 30 minutes, 35 minutes between 6 o'clock in the evening and when you go to bed. It's available. Then you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You join the prayers. You do the 2 hours. You know. Then from there, you read your Bible. And then, you know, throughout the day, just 5 minutes every 6 hours. Anybody can do it. The question is, will you do it? I got something else. It is only those who have godliness with contentment that will ultimately get great gain. Your motivation is not gain. Your motivation is to please God. But the reward of it is great gain. God is looking for us all. This 2024 is going to be a decisive year. It's the year of the prosperity of your soul. The Holy Spirit is looking through the church. He's selecting and he's preparing those who are going to form the ark and those who he's going to use to bring the people in to fill the ark. Then the glory is going to hit. Prepare yourself. God has great plans for you. Let's talk to God. You know, the Bible is true, brethren. He does exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask of him. Honey, let me encourage you. When I was preparing this message, the Lord spoke to me. He said, when you and your wife started life forth, he said, could you ever imagine what it would become? I had to be honest. No. I knew he would bless us. But I at that time, you know, when we first started, I never could think that it would become what it has become. He said, that's what I mean when I say I would do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you can ask or think. So he said, even the one you are thinking now. What I just preached about zillion and all of that. He said, I'm going to do above it.
Amen.
Stay strong, stay healthy, stay alive. You've got a great destiny ahead of you. In your presence, we are content.
In your presence, we are content.
Oh, what a word. In your presence.
In your presence there is life.
Expressions.
Expressions of your love.
Revelation. Hallelujah.
Revelations of your power and might.
In your presence.
In your presence we now bring.
A love song.
A love song.
We're in the presence.
In the presence of our King.
In your presence. Everybody sing it. It's a prayer.
In your presence.
We are content. That's that contentment.
We are content.
In your presence.
Yeah.
In your presence.
We are content. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Your presence, there is life.
There is light.
Expressions of your love.
Expressions of your love.
Revelations of your power and might.
In your presence.
In your presence there is light.
In your presence.
In your presence there is light.
Ah.
Expressions of your love.
Revelations.
Revelations of your power and might.
In your presence.
Put one hand on your heart, raise the other hand to God. God is looking for willing vessels. Everything in life is a question of priority. And God wants to be first. God, He said, you will have no other God beside you. Prayer and the Word come first before anything else. And I'll show you how you can do it. Practical. Start the next day from the evening of the previous day. The day of the Lord begins in the evening. It's a revelation to me. So you can find these initial prayers, you can do them. 30 minutes, you're done. Then you get up in the morning, your spirit is already full. You're firing. Hallelujah. You know, there was somebody who was having problem getting up. Doing prayer. So I shared these things with them and some pastors. I said, it's not difficult. And since that time, it's been easy. See, prayer requires fuel. And the fuel for prayer is Zoe. That's why I taught you last week about Zoe, dunamis, and glory. It's not religion, no? It's reality. So if you do it, if you fill up and all of that in the evening, you know, maybe an hour before you sleep, instead of spending 1 hour, you know, in front of News at 10 or Arise, they won't give you life. This one will give you life. Listen to Arise or listen to God. You need to know what's going on in the country. But don't spend too much time on it. Even like me, myself, you know, I watch a good movie and all that. But you know, my wife knows, you know, I'm a very, very disciplined person. You will discover that I pray before I come and do all of that. Matty, load up. you see, they say, Pastor, where are you? I said, I'm coming. I'll see you soon. I'm in my room. So when I go and, you know, I now laugh with everybody. So when I get up in the middle of the night, I don't use an alarm clock. We don't use alarm clock. I have the alarm, but I don't use it. I wake up before the alarm. Before my watch says 3:30, I'm already up. It's the Holy Ghost. At this our age, by the grace of God, it's not difficult. I've discovered something, brethren. He's not a liar. God is not a liar. His yoke is easy, his burden is light, and his commandments are not grievous. If you're finding it heavy, it is you who is the liar. Go and check. There's something you're not doing right. And usually it's attitude. Meekness and lowliness of heart is the prerequisite for finding the yoke easy and the burden light. Raise that hand. Raise it. Put the other one on your chest. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this afternoon. Thank you for showing me the way of godliness, contentment, and ultimately, great gain. Oh God, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on us. Receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I repent of every wrong attitude of pride, covetousness, competition. Going forward, Lord, I'll be content with what you give me at my present level of spiritual development. Thank you for food. Thank you for raiment. I am content. And I'm now going to spend time and concentrate on prayer and the word to increase the prosperity of my soul so that my health, my healing, and my material and financial prosperity will correspondingly increase, causing me ultimately to get great gain. I walk at my pace. I don't care what any person is doing in their lives. I'm content with what you're doing with me. In Jesus' name. Nikatolo moshakatufre. Lembragashkafre. Father, salaprakatolo moshka. Lord Jesus, aprakatolo motufre. Lord Holy Ghost, aprakatolo motufre. We thank you for your blood, laprikatushka. Your life, shariki to fridik lomotufre. Your power, nakatufre kakolomotufre. Jelika kakolomotufre. In and upon our wills, laprakatolomotufre nesk. Our minds, laprakatushkafre. Our emotions, laprakatolomotufre. Our bodies, laprakatolomotufre. Our circumstances, laprakatolomotufre. Lambro show, our regional heavenlies, liprakatolomotufre. In this regard, rematolomotukokoklo. Rama, insufficient measure. Lambraka kakro. Toloma tufri dufri sheka kakro. Toloma real sha. Yak. Frenenga sufre. In Jesus' name. If you need healing, just stretch your hand. Father, we release healing power. You sent your word and healed them and delivered them. Thank you, the word, the power for healing and the power for deliverance is already in your word. And it's already in the air. You said Jesus was teaching. He said the power of the Lord to heal was present. We thank you the power to heal is present. We release it now in Jesus' name into the bodies of those that need it, whose hands are stretched forth in faith in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Mommy, come. Let's take the benediction. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the ladder of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, of Paul, of Paul, of John, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have godliness with contentment and ultimately great gain, and you have no broken bones. In Jesus' name, amen.